thank you for the joy of being with you today. You can find these studies on abideinchrist.com, 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 and go to Sermons and Bible Studies and click on John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30, the Christian's eternal security. The Christian's salvation is 100% God's work. Man does not contribute anything to it. Our salvation is based upon the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and His resurrection proves His sacrifice for our sins was acceptable to God the Father. We come with no merits, no good virtue, or anything that would make us look good in God's eyes. We are helpless sinners, dead in trespasses and sins. We come with empty hands to receive God's free gift of eternal life. It is God's free grace received through faith in Christ alone. Saved by grace will be our theme throughout eternity. Because it is His work that saves, we can have complete assurance that He will finish what He began in us. The Jewish leaders came to Jesus and they wanted Him to tell them plainly who He was. John chapter 10, verse 22, they say, "Tell us who you are." The Jewish leaders wanted answers to their questions about the Messiah. Is Jesus the Anointed One? Is He the Messiah of Israel? And with their questions, they were seeking to blame God for their unbelief. If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. They were trying to blame game Jesus. You're the reason we cannot believe. The truth is, they had been told everything they needed to know, but they refused to believe in Him. If they had the right attitude, they would have believed. His teaching fell on deaf ears. The root of the problem is, you do not believe. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me." John chapter 10, verse 25. The Jewish leaders failed to discern that the works were a witness of His divine nature. The miracles were signs that demonstrated His deity. The Messiah possessed deity. The Jewish people, however, had political and military implications in the concept of the Messiah, and Jesus carefully avoided this meaning. Jesus said to these Jewish religious leaders, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word." John chapter 8, verse 43. They could not hear His word because they were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And then He told them plainly in verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father." Yes, Jesus told them plainly, but they refused to hear. They had an attitude problem. They even refused to see the Father's hand in the works that I do in my Father's name. "These testify of me," Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 25. They drank the wine at the wedding at Cana of Galilee. This beginning of His signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory. And His disciples believed in Him. John chapter 2, verse 11. In the Gospel of John, the signs are the attesting miracles, are tokens of divine authority that always point to the supernatural power of God in redeeming grace. There are seven of these signs in the Gospel of John. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a preeminent leader of the Jewish ruling class, a member of the Sanhedrin, came to Jesus by night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. John chapter 3, verse 2. A royal official whose son was sick to the point of death in Capernaum saw the hand of God in the healing of his son in John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. John wrote, "And so the father knew that it was at the hour in which Jesus said to him, 'Your son lives,' and he himself believed, and his whole house." Verse 43. The works Jesus did in the Father's name included the 38-year-old lame man who was healed in John chapter 5. Jesus said, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." John chapter 5, verse 17. "But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, testify about me, and that the Father has sent me." In John chapter 5, verse 36. And then there was the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6. Jesus walking on water, curing the blind man in John chapter 9, raising Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. All of these testify to who Jesus is. All these signs point to Jesus, the Son of God, with the purpose that all who believe on him receive eternal life. All of the words and the works of Jesus were a continuous affirmation that he is the anointed one of God, the Messiah. It's important to observe God the Father's sovereign election and human responsibility in this great teaching of Jesus. To deny either is to reach a false conclusion and theological error. Those who listen to the shepherd's voice trust and obey him and follow him because they were given and drawn to him. You do not believe because you are not my sheep. John chapter 10, verse 26. Jesus cut to the heart of the issue of unbelief when he said, "But you do not believe because you are not my sheep." And this was the whole point of the allegory of the good shepherd. They were the children of the devil in John chapter 8, verse 43. And saving grace is necessary because of the radically depraved sinner's inability to choose God. The reason for their unbelief is, "You are not my sheep." But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Now note the emphatic pronoun and repetition, which places the blame squarely on them. This is the desperate condition of every lost sinner apart from Jesus Christ. The Apostle John made it very clear in John chapter 3, verse 18, "He who believes in him," in Jesus, "is not judged, and he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The sheep are God's elect. Christ's sheep know him. "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." John chapter 10, verse 14. The Jewish leaders who are attacking Jesus are wolves in sheep clothing. Jesus said, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep." In and of themselves, men are unable to believe. They're spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The context makes clear the person believes because he is one of God's sheep. The elect are going to believe. If you have believed on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it proves that you are of the elect. God in grace elects them into his kingdom. They are regenerate. They're born again. They place their faith in Jesus Christ. They choose to believe. The just shall live by faith. They respond to God's saving grace. All who are of God's elect come to him, and none of those who come are ever lost. Faith is always a gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "My sheep hear my voice," Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 26. God's elect hear the voice of the Son. They hear the voice of the shepherd and follow him. They know the sound of his voice. They belong to the good shepherd and respond to his call. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4 and verse 14. God gives them the ability to hear because the Holy Spirit is working in the heart, giving spiritual life. They hear because of the sovereign grace of God at work in the heart. Are you one of his sheep? When did you hear his voice? Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25, you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like the grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the Word of God endures forever. And this is the Word which we preach to you. Did you hear His Word and respond to life-giving Word? The Apostle Paul wrote, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. My sheep hear my voice. When did you hear his voice? What did you do when you heard it? Did you hear the voice of the sweet Spirit of God? When you heard the good news of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And that voice still pleads. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. The message hasn't changed. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Do you hear him calling you in those words? I'm often asked, how do you know if you're elect of God? The answer is very simple. I responded to his effectual call. I believed on him as my Savior. I put my faith and trust in him alone for salvation and eternal life. God gives spiritual life to the dead sinner. He hears the Savior's voice and comes forth. This is the effectual call of God to the spiritually dead that gives eternal life. Do you hear and follow? If you're going your own way, you're probably not one of his sheep. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. And that's the way he calls the disciples in John chapter 1. His sheep believe and habitually follow him. Well, John chapter 10, verse 27 tells us, I know my sheep. Jesus knows his sheep. He calls you by name. And that's one of the greatest comforts I know. My Savior knows my name. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. I know by experience my own, and my own know me by experience. He knows you by name, personally, for all eternity. My name's written down in the book of life. In fact, my name is written down from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb of God, which has been slain, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. The believer's name is written down because he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Have you believed on him? Why not trust him right now as he speaks to you? The sheep have an intimate personal relationship with the shepherd. The important emphasis is the knowledge Christ has of his sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. The result of this knowledge is the habitual following of him. they follow me. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Hearing the shepherd's voice is an inward act. Following the shepherd is both inward and outward. They follow me. I call, they come. I choose the path, they trust and come after. I lead, they're safe in my care. I command in love, they respond in obedience and love. They follow in obedience to his commands. They follow him and grow in his grace. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus answered Judas, not the Judas the traitor, and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. And he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. The bottom line is, if we love him, we will follow him in obedience. The proof of love is obedience. And that is where we learn to obey our Lord. Those who neither believe nor follow him show by that fact that they do not belong to his own shepherd. Not only do his own sheep recognize his voice, he, for his part, knows them individually, calls them by name. Moreover, he tells us in John chapter 10, verse 28, I give them eternal life. Eternal life is his gift to them. Jesus lays down his life and death so that his sheep may receive his life. And this life is a free gift, sovereignly bestowed on the believer. It's not merited, it's not earned, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. We deserve the death penalty because we're guilty sinners, but Jesus paid our debt. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life, or as the Apostle Paul describes it, salvation, is a free gift. It is a gift. You cannot purchase a gift. You cannot earn a gift. It is freely given as a gracious gift. The sheep cannot perish because the shepherd is eternal. And he rose from the dead. He lives. No true saint of God will perish. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. I myself will rise up on the last day. John chapter 6, verse 40. I give them eternal life. John uses life eternal 17 times. And this life principle begins in the new birth, our regeneration, and makes us alive spiritually. Nothing dead can give itself life. The Son of God alone bestows this spiritual life. The Holy Spirit kindles faith in us. This life is eternal and goes on endlessly, unaffected by physical death. This is the very principle of life which flows from God. It is grounded in God, joins to God, and leads to God. Born in regeneration, it pulses in every believer, becomes stronger as faith increases, and reaches its full flower in the glory of heaven. Temporal death merely transfers this life from earth to heaven. Itself invisible, this life manifests itself in a thousand ways and thus attests its presence and power. When the day of glory comes, it is manifested and shall be a glorious altogether. No earthly shepherd is able to give life to his sheep. By way of gift alone, this life is ours. Free gift alone bestows it, and by free grace, without any merit or worthiness on our part, it is our possession. A.W. Pink said that quite impossible is it for sheep to become a goat, and for a man who is born again to be unborn. The gift of life is eternal, and therefore shall never perish. Those to whom Christ gives the gift of eternal life will never perish. How long is eternal life? Take the expression exactly as it is written. Do not read something into it or change it in any way. Eternal life is eternal life. It is eternal. It's never ending. It's always. It shall never perish. It is God's kind of life. They may backslide, but they will never perish. If you have eternal life, you have it for all eternity. F.F. Bruce, the New Testament scholar, stresses this abundant life is called eternal life and is promised to those who believe in the Son. To have eternal life is to live forever. Negatively expressed, those who have it will never see death, will never taste death, will never die, or as here, will never perish. Physical life may be destroyed. But those who are united by faith to the Son of God, those who belong to the flock of the true shepherd, can never lose real life, for he keeps it secure. No one, he says, will snatch them out of my hand. When does eternal life begin? It began the moment you were born spiritually, the moment you will put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The moment you believed on Jesus Christ, you received eternal life. You either have it or you do not have it. The testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, and so that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. You either have eternal life, or you do not have it. You either have the Son, or you do not have the Son. You are His child, or you are not His child. John chapter 10, verse 28 also tells us that they shall never perish. The original is even stronger. It's a double negative, ou me. They shall never not perish, never. They shall not ever perish, makes good English. Perish never means to suffer annihilation or cease to exist. The idea is to be separated from God or to be punished in hell. Believers sin, but they have a perfect shepherd who never loses a single sheep. Everything depends on the shepherd, not the sheep. Our great shepherd defends and preserves his flock. Remember what Jesus said to Peter the night before he denied Jesus three times? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Sifted, but not rejected. God perseveres with His saints. His gracious power is all sufficient to protect every believer. No one will snatch them from my hand, Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 28. How big is your God? In contrast to the ravenous wolves, our shepherd is sovereign. The whole attack is against the believer. The wolf attacks and snatches away, but our great shepherd guards his sheep. Nothing and no one can touch his sheep without his permission. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. No one can snatch them out of the shepherd's hand. Harpazo has the idea of violence. Not even a violent snatching can remove us from the shepherd's hand. Our continuance in the eternal life depends not upon our feeble hold upon Christ, but upon his hold of us. They will be saved no matter what earthly disaster may fall. Where are you right now? You're in the Good Shepherd's hands. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 6 and 7. No one can snatch me out of my Savior's hand. John chapter 10 verse 29 tells us, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. My Father indicates the unique relationship of Jesus Christ with his Father. Jesus does not say, our Father, but my Father. My Father has given them to me. The believer is God the Father's gift to the Son. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world and has given us to his Son. And not only that, no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I am eternally safe in the hands of my God and Savior because absolutely no one is strong enough to snatch me out of the Father's hand. Where am I? I am secure in the hand of Jesus, and he is in the Father's hand. Notice the statement that is far more reaching than in the previous verse. There we had a future. No one can snatch them. Here, no one is able to snatch them. This shepherd is all-powerful, and the sheep are in his hand. A.W. Pink gives a good summary of this passage of Scripture and suggests seven stands in the rope which binds them to God. Number one, they're Christ's sheep. And it is the duty of the shepherd to care for each of his flock. To suggest that any of Christ's sheep may be lost is to blaspheme the shepherd himself. Second, they follow Christ, and no exceptions are made. The Lord does not say they ought to, but declares they do. If the sheep follow Christ, they must reach heaven, for that is where the shepherd is gone. Third, the sheep is imparted eternal life. To speak of eternal life ending is a contradiction in terms. Four, this eternal life is given to them. They do nothing to merit it, and consequently, they can do nothing to demerit it. Fifth, the Lord himself declares that his sheep shall never perish. And consequently, the man who declares that it is possible for a child of God to go to hell makes God a liar. And six, from the shepherd's hand none is able to pluck them, and hence the devil is unable to encompass the destruction of a single one of them. And seventh, above them is the Father's hand, and hence it is impossible for them to jump out of the hand of Christ even if they tried to. The Apostle Paul, awaiting his execution by the Caesar, declared, and for this reason I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him against that day. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. The life given to the sheep is eternal, and those who receive it shall never, ever perish. The sheep are eternally secure in the hands of the Good Shepherd. But don't presume on your relationship with Christ. What is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ today? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.